19 through 31. Now, if you know that, that's the rich man and Lazarus. Trying to decide and praying and trying to figure out what God wanted me to preach on this morning. And I can guarantee you that this message is for somebody here. Because I changed my scripture 3 times this week. So, obviously, what I was listening to at first was not, was either just what I felt like I was going to preach on or what, but God kept changing it this week. And so, I finally settled on this one because I was getting a little frantic too. I said, okay, God, you got to give me some scripture. You got to give me something that you want me to preach on, because I would start to work on one and then it just wouldn't come. It wouldn't come. And I was like, okay, God, what is it? So open your ears this morning. Open your hearts, because God has a message for you this morning. Let's actually pray before we start this message. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, and Lord, we just pray that, Lord, we just open our hearts and our ears, and Lord, we are just prepared to hear your word this morning, that, Lord, we are just ready to praise you, but, Lord, that we are ready to also, whatever you're calling us to, that, Lord, we are ready to change or get rid of something in our lives or do what it is that you're calling us to do, Lord. And so I just pray, Lord, that each one here, that, Lord, that we don't walk away without something from this message, Lord, that we are ready to receive you. We are ready to receive your word and just open our hearts and our ears this morning, and we just praise your name. Amen. So we talk a lot about saving the lost, right? I mean, that's very important. You know, you were once lost, right? And then somebody found you or directed you to church, or maybe you grew up in the church and that was because your parents dragged you to church, because I'm sure, you know, there was times as a kid you're like, I don't want to go to church, and your parents are like, well, too bad, right? Well, we talk a lot about helping them and showing them the light and helping them to understand that Christ died for them. But when I look around our world, I still see a lot of darkness. I still see a lot of people who are very content with where they are. A lot of people who say Sundays are for sleeping in. A lot of people who say Sundays are a day of rest. I just need to stay home and do nothing. Getting up and going to church, that's work. I don't want to do it. What I'm saying is we don't give up showing the light. You see, we get frustrated, don't we? How many of you have a loved one who you've been working on for years and years and years to try to get them to church? How many of you get to the point where you're frustrated because you're like, you know what? They're just never going to give in. They're never going to show up. Are even in our church, sitting in our pews this morning, who said they would never sit in a church, and here they are this morning. Never given up on. Throughout the Bible and in our culture, there are many who are seeking for things that cannot satisfy them. Many of us this morning are seeking for things that cannot satisfy. So this morning, when we read our scripture, I'm going to kind of work it differently. I'm not going to start at the beginning. I mean, I'm going to read it from the beginning because it's kind of hard to read it from the bottom. But I'm going to read it from the beginning to the end. But I'm going to kind of work backwards on this because I believe that the ending is the beginning and the beginning is the end in this scripture. So let's look at Luke 16, 19 through 31. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. I thought it was interesting. We have Moses and the prophets, and here, talking about if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Who do we know that rose from the dead? Our Lord and Savior, right? How many people are convinced that he actually rose from the dead and is living today? Talk to someone who is lost. Talk to someone who doesn't want to know the name of Jesus. Talk to someone who doesn't care to know the name of Jesus. Do they believe that Jesus is risen? You see, we have a whole book, whole scripture of prophets. The word is God-breathed, isn't it? These are not just the words. As I always tell you, the words that I speak are not mine. They are God's. These are God's words too. And yet, how many people believe in the Bible? The problem is, nobody wants to listen to the prophets. No one wants to listen to the God-written, God-breathed words. Why? Because they tell you things you don't like, don't they? We don't like to be told when we're doing stuff wrong. We don't like to be told when we're living a certain way and we want to live that way. And God says, guess what? That's not the way that it's going to be, because you can't get to heaven by living like that. We don't like it. How many of you take criticism real good? We like to be told, you're doing a great job. You're doing everything perfect. Everything's going good. That's what we want to hear, right? We don't like to be told that we're failing. We don't like to be told that we're sinning. We don't like to be told that we're doing something wrong, do we? But when you read God's word, it tells you you're doing stuff wrong, doesn't it? Well, at least it should. If you're reading it and absorbing it and taking it in, it should tell you that you're doing something wrong. And it doesn't matter, as I've said before, it doesn't matter whether you're a baby Christian all the way up to a mature Christian, where there is always something that needs changed. Always something that we can grow with. Always something that we can prune out of our lives. Something that God says, you're not letting me have that. Our present relationship with Jesus Christ determines where we end up in our afterlife. Our present relationship with Jesus Christ determines where we end up in the afterlife. You come to church and you put on a good front, you put on a good show. I don't know any different. I don't need to know any different. But God, you can come to church and you can sit in the pew and you can think that you're making others look good, you're making yourself look good, you're making others believe that you are a Christian and you're doing good, right? But if God says your heart does not belong to me, then you are not one of my children. relationship is not committed to me, if you are not in a intimate relationship with your Lord and Savior, then guess what? You are not in a relationship, and your future afterlife is not in heaven. Man, he wanted Father Abraham to send Lazarus over to his father's house because he wanted him to warn his brothers of what was happening. He wanted Lazarus to tell them about this place of torment so that they didn't have to go there. You see, this story makes it clear that if we do not respond to the message God has already clearly written in the Bible, we will not respond at all. If people are going to put the Bible down, if they're going to put the written word of God down, and they're going to believe that this written word is not true, that it is not real, that it does not exist, that these are all just stories, then guess what? The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ does not matter to them either. Because that's another person, just like one of the other gods out there. But our God is different, isn't he? Jesus was raised from the dead, and yet to this day, people still reject him. Fortunately, there are people in churches who still reject him. He lived day in and day out in a luxurious lifestyle. At the beginning, it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Not just on occasion. Not just every once in a while did he get dressed up and live in luxury. Every day this man lived in luxury. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Do you hear that? He was laid at the gate to this rich man. All he wanted was what fell from the rich man's table. How many of you just crave crumbs? How many of you sit in your living room or your dining room while your family eats and you watch them eat and you're watching the floor saying, okay, where's the crumbs? I want to eat them. That do we? All this man wanted was the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Lived in luxury, and yet there was someone in need right outside his gate, and he didn't pay any attention. Didn't help him. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. You see, that just added to the man's misery. Not only is he out there begging, he's probably starved to death. Most likely, probably skin and bones of some sort if he's begging. He's waiting for just crumbs, just something little from this rich man's table. And now the dogs, which are not friendly dogs, by the way, they're not the dogs that we think about. They are mongrel dogs, and they come and they're licking his sores. So not only does he have dogs that are licking, but he's also got sores. Suffering. Our prayer list, and there are a lot of people who are suffering, aren't there? Mm-hmm. We look at our congregation, and there are a lot of people who are suffering, right? What are we doing to help them? Now, prayer is extremely powerful, and prayer can change and do all kinds of things, right? Where's the encouragement? Where's the help? Sometimes people just need us to show love, right? Sometimes the way to show them who Jesus Christ is by showing them who Jesus Christ is through you. Sometimes all it takes is you to say, hey, can I help carry your groceries in? Can I help you fix your flat tire? Now, me, I don't know how to fix a flat tire, but can I help you hold the tire? I encourage you in any way. Sometimes when people are suffering, all they want are crumbs from you. Not the whole feast. They don't expect you to change their circumstance. They don't expect you to change what they're going through, but they're just looking for some kind of help, some kind of crumb from you. Offering even a crumb to those who are suffering. Are we offering to give any kind of help to those who are suffering? And I'm not just talking about your church family. I'm talking about the ones on our prayer list that we don't know. I'm talking about your neighbor who may be going through something. I'm talking about your sons, your daughters, your wives, your husbands, those who are not here. Do we offer to show them Jesus Christ? Time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Now, if you were thirsty, imagine a hot, hot summer day, and you're outside doing some work, or you're just sitting outside and your dehydration is getting to you. If I came to you with a glass of water, and I said, "You want some water?" And you're like, "Yeah, sure, great, I'm dehydrated." And I said, "Okay, here," and I gave you just a dip off of my finger. Is that going to satisfy you? No, you asked that I was bringing, right? Well, that was mine. I just wanted to give you the dip of my finger. You see, but this man, this rich man, he's in so much agony in hell, in this fire, that all he wants is just a dip, just a drop. He looks, and he sees Lazarus sitting with Abraham. He sees that Lazarus is not suffering. You would think that that would open his eyes. But it didn't really open his eyes. He still was thinking of himself. "Just give me a dip of water. I'm suffering. I'm in agony now. I'm in pain." Not the man when he was suffering and in agony and in pain. He didn't care about him at all, did he? But now that he's suffering, now that he's the one in agony and pain, he's like, "Help me, please." How many times do we do that? We don't care about the ones who are suffering to a certain point. We'll pray for them. That's as far as we're going to go. Wait a minute. Now I'm suffering. Now I'm in pain. Now wait a minute. Now I want people to reach out to me. It cannot be like that if we are not going to help others. Then we can't expect others to help us. Willing to show Jesus by helping others. He wanted him to have pity. To have pity on him. "Please take pity. I'm in agony. I'm in this fire. Just give me a drop of water." Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony." You see, I've said it before. This world has nothing to offer us. I mean, we live in it. It's great. We have blessings in it. We live a great life in it. We do what we can, and we need to serve Christ while we live here. But this is not our home. This is not where we need to want to stay. This is not where we need to be looking for our blessings. Our treasures are where? Our treasures are in heaven, right? Which means if our treasures are in heaven, then that's where we need to keep our eyes. But he says to the rich man, he says, "You had your good things in life." You see, people in our culture, they want good things, don't they? I want the next best iPad that's out there. I've got to have the next phone that comes out on the market as soon as it is, and they'll stand in line and wait for it. People will stand in line all over the place waiting for the hottest products. On Black Friday, how many times do we hear that somebody has been trampled on or killed or whatever because they've got to get in the store right away? Right? Vicki and I kind of stay back. We do go out Black Friday, but we're not in that, in the mob. People will hurt people to get the next best thing. Where are they this morning? You see, God is going to bless you while you're here on earth. There's no doubt about that. We receive good things. What do you do with those blessings? You see someone who is hurting, someone who is suffering, someone who is in pain and agony. Do you offer the blessings that Christ has given to you? Or do you say they're mine? I'm going to live in luxury. I'm going to live a life that pleases me, but I'm not going to give it over to anybody else. It's mine, right? It's my money. It's my car. It's my house. It's my food. It's my time. All of it is mine. Is that the right attitude? Whose is it really?
God.
It's God's. God's money that he blessed you with. It's God's time he's given you. It's God's car. It's God's house. God's ability that he's given to you. But Lazarus, he received bad things while in life, but yet it does not say so here. But his faith still must have been in God. Even while receiving the bad things. He is in heaven. He is in enjoying himself, and he is not in agony anymore, is he? He goes on to say, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. You see, once you reach your final eternal place, you can't change it. Once you've made your decisions here on earth and you stand before God, and he says either come in or he says depart, it's done, it's over, you can't change it. We can look at what we have in this life. And there are people who have fame and fortune and nice houses and nice cars, the next best things, right? And we can do one of two things. We can either be jealous of what we do not possess, or we can be thankful and praise God for what he has blessed us with and use it to bless somebody else. You see, and then when we stand before God, when he is opening the book of life and we're standing before him and he says, you know what? I gave you this blessing whenever you needed it the most, and I gave you another blessing on top, and that person over there needed it, and you didn't help. Look good? I gave you an abundance of food that week, and that person, your neighbor, they came to you and they said, you know what? I just don't have the money this week to get food at the grocery store, and my kids are hungry. And you say, well, I don't know what to tell you. Keep praying. All the while, food is sitting in your refrigerator and your freezer, and you have an abundance. And God said, I gave you that abundance to help your neighbor. The suffering in this life is nothing compared to the suffering that we will endure afterwards if we do not choose God. No matter what you believe about hell, the suffering that you endure when you stand before God and he says, I know you not, depart from me, that is the greatest suffering. When you are denied entrance into heaven. I never want to stand before God and hear those words. And I don't want anyone here to stand before God and hear those words. But it goes further than that. I don't want anyone in your families or your friends or your community to stand before God and hear those words. And yet there are many, many who will stand before him and hear those. Many who are going to end up living in agony because they refuse to listen to God's word. Once you reach where you're going, Jesus makes it very clear that you cannot cross. There are no redos. If you hear, "Depart from me," that's it. For one more chance. We can't ask for one more, right? We can't ask to repent at that point in time, can we? It's done. I'm telling you, it's done. I look out and I look at your faces, and all of you are sitting there and you've got these looks that I have no clue if this is seeping in or not. Do you understand that it's done once you breathe your last breath? That should scare us. Why should it scare us? Because we've got to make sure that this right here is how we're living. If you're not living like this, you need to make sure that when you stand before God that you hear, "Good and faithful servant, well done, come in." If you hear, "Depart from me," where are you going? Going with Satan and his demons. I don't know about you, but I can't watch things. I don't like scary movies. I don't like things with demons in it. I don't like things with Satan depicted in him. Why? Because I just don't like him. I don't like what he stands for. I don't like the imagery of the evilness that he is. And yet there are demons all around us all the time, right? And why are they there? Because they want to make you fall. They want to make you falter. They want to drag you down. They want to say, "That food is yours. That money is yours. That car is yours. That time is yours. Don't give. Don't help. Don't do it." But God's word, what does God's word say? And this is what we're supposed to believe, right? God's word constantly tells you to do what? Love your neighbors. Help them out. Give to the needy. When you do it, what? What does Matthew tell you? When you do it, when you help the least of these, who are you helping? You're helping Jesus Christ. When you help the least of these, then you're doing it for God. He doesn't say, nowhere in the scriptures does he say, "It's your money, you decide what to do. It's your food, you can go ahead and decide to give or not. I have blessed you, now bless others." It's important that we understand our need to make sure that our eyes are focused on God, even in the midst of our suffering. I heard Karen and Doug speaking for those that were here. And in the midst of their suffering, what did they do? They held on to God, didn't they? Yeah, they questioned him. He never says we can't question. All he says is, through the suffering, through the trials, through the hurt and the pain, we must keep our eyes focused on him. We have people who are suffering, who are hurting, who are in pain, and their eyes are nowhere near Jesus. And yet you say, "My time is of my own. It's what I want to do." I pray that when you read through the stories in the Bible, that as you're reading your scripture, that they are not just stories to you. That you realize that a prophet or a disciple or someone that God had used wrote these, but yet they came from God. God breathed written word, alive as you are right now. Are to be following them. Someone is sitting outside of your gate and you're living in luxury and you decide not to help. The question to you is God happy with you? What is it this morning that God has told you? I have given you that abundance of a blessing. I have given you an abundance in this area, and you have failed to give it to someone else.
You have failed to bless someone else with what I've blessed you with. What is it that God is telling you this morning? And maybe right now you can't think of anything. Maybe right now you're trying to and God hasn't shown it to you yet. But I can guarantee you this week, that if you really think about it this week, that God is going to show you something that you can bless someone else with. And I pray that when you see that person in agony, when you see that person in pain or in need, that you do not turn your back. You do not live like the rich man who is living in luxury every day, while yet there is someone that's like 50 feet away who is living in agony. I pray that if you see someone in agony, that you reach out and you help them. You reach out and you show them who Jesus is. Because guess what? If you reach out and you help, you reach out and you show. You know who's going to come to the altar and give their life for Christ. You never know what one blessing that you may give will change someone's world completely. Not only that, it will change their destiny from where they were headed in eternity. More importantly, too, is that it can alter your destiny of eternity. Sometimes we think just coming to church and sitting in the pews and listening to the pastor preach and singing the songs, and that's good enough, right? Is that what he tells you? The other scripture that I was looking at of doing was the woman at the well. How Christ changed her life. Many things that we just don't know what our blessing is going to change. By all standards, Christ should not have been talking to that woman at the well, right? But yet he did, and he changed her life. He told her that he could give her living water that she could draw from that would never run dry. That same opportunity. That opportunity to each other, each person in your family, your friends, your neighbors, in your communities. Draw from the living water is where we need to draw. I look at our scripture in closing here. In just a minute, we're going to be singing Solid Rock. Is Jesus the solid rock that you're standing on? The song says, all other ground is what? Is sinking sand. Ground, if you are not standing on Christ as a solid rock and believing in his word and doing as his word says, then guess what? You're following after is sinking sand, and it will only take you down. Allow God to guide and direct you in giving blessings to someone else. Allow God to guide and direct you in what it is that he has given you to bless someone so that you are not standing before him to hear his judgment. And he says, go. Those are words, because I'm going to assume that one of you here this morning never wants to hear those words. So as we sing our last song, any doubts this morning that if you were to leave here and breathe your last breath, any doubts that you would hear anything other than come good and falter? Come and seek Christ out. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years. This is your time. In 50 years, things can change and your relationship can change, and you may not be where you should be. I don't care if you've been a Christian for a day. You need to come and seek Christ. It is. Or if you want to come and just ask him to show you what it is that you need to do better and show him where you need to grow. Show him where you need to bless someone. Show him where you need to help someone who is in trouble. Whatever it may be, bring it to Christ at the altar and leave it there when you leave. And God will change your world. And eventually, if you follow what Christ says, if you follow God's leading, then you're going to have no doubts whatsoever that when you breathe your last breath, that you're going to be standing in comfort in the greatest place there ever is in heaven, Lord and Savior. That's where y'all want to be. But I'll work to get there. Where are you failing? Bring it to God this morning.
Ask Him.